It's September 24th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, China's latest crackdown, top headlines, and more. This episode is sponsored by Kava, Nexo.io, and Bitstamp. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin sellers were active during Asia hours after China's central bank declared cryptocurrency-related business illegal. Traders need to keep the price above $40,000, which could stabilize the pullback. A series of lower price highs from the $50,000 resistance level reflects slowing upside momentum this month. The intermediate-term uptrend is weakened, although short-term buyers could defend those lower prices into the weekend. The Relative Strength Index, that's the RSI on the daily chart, is rising from oversold levels this week, which could limit additional selling. The 100-day moving average at $40,000 could provide short-term support, but if broken, the next level of support is around $36,000, which is the middle of a four-month price range. Resistance remains strong above $46,000 as buyers continue to take profits. Taking a bigger picture look at this, the People's Bank of China said Bitcoin, Ether, and stablecoin Tether do not qualify as legal tender and cannot be used in the currency market. The central bank declared all virtual currency-related activities illegal, including derivatives transactions and overseas virtual currency exchanges serving Chinese residents. Bitcoin fell by about $2,000 after the news out of China, erasing Thursday's 3% gain. China renewed its crackdown on cryptocurrency trading and mining in the second quarter, amid pilot testing of the digital yuan. However, according to China journalist Colin Wu, the latest central bank statement is quite detailed and mentions Tether as illegal for the first time. Tether, with its USDT token, is the largest stablecoin according to market value and is widely used to fund crypto purchases and as collateral in decentralized finance. Earlier this week, the New York Times reported that regulators might declare stablecoins themselves as a systemic risk. And going even further, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Gary Gensler compared stablecoins to poker chips. Analysts told CoinDesk on Thursday that regulatory uncertainty presents a major downside risk to Bitcoin in the short term. Bitcoin is currently trading at $41,629. That's down almost 4.5% on the day, while Ether is trading at $2,851, down a little bit over 7% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk market analysts Omkar Godbole and Dominic Nantes. Shifting to traditional markets, U.S. futures fell with cryptocurrencies and related stocks after the Chinese central bank said such transactions are illegal. Sovereign bond yields fluctuated after an earlier sell-off fueled by the prospect of tighter monetary policy. Futures out of the blue-chip Dow Jones Industrial Average fell just under 0.5%, while S&P 500 futures edged down just a touch more. Technology-heavy NASDAQ 100 futures weakened 0.7%, and on Thursday, all three indexes rebounded, pairing losses from earlier in the week. Consumer and retail shares led declines both in U.S. pre-market trading and in Europe, with Nike Inc. down almost 5% after lowering its sales outlook amid factory closures. And speaking of Europe, EQT AB, Europe's biggest listed private equity firm, fell after Sweden's financial watchdog opened an investigation into suspected market abuse. Generally, markets have been whipsawed this week by fears that the possible collapse of Evergrande could spill over into global markets and add to an already darkening outlook for global growth. Evergrande inched closer to a potential default on Friday as the deadline on its key interest payment to its U.S. dollar bondholders passed without any announcement. Quote, "It's one of the largest companies in the second largest economy in the world, and if something pulls down Chinese growth, it's going to pull down global growth," said Seema Shah, chief strategist at Principal Global Investors. The company's shares fell 11.6% Friday in Hong Kong and are down more than 84% this year. Overall, in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng Index fell 1.3%, and in mainland China, the Shanghai Composite Index weakened 0.8%. But things were a little bit better in Japan, where the Nikkei 225 rose 2.1%. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg. And in related news, here are a few quick headlines we're tracking today. You can find the links to the full stories in the show notes for this episode. Then after the break, we'll dig into the details of China's latest crackdown. But first, here's what's hot. Turning to big picture news, reasonably good September jobs start Fed taper. But is another dud coming? U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has tied the initial wind down of the central bank's bond buying program to, quote, decent job growth in September. But high-frequency payroll data so far shows the pandemic may be holding back hiring. Notably, a report this week from payroll management firm UKG showed shift work across a variety of industries measured during the week when a federal job survey is conducted was, quote, effectively flat month over month, end quote, from August to September, said UKG Vice President Dave Gilbertson. You can find more on that one courtesy of Reuters in the show notes. Supply chain contracts get revamped after COVID-19 disruptions. Pandemic-driven strains in supply chains are triggering changes in contract terms between suppliers and their manufacturing and retail customers, as companies try to address the risks and added costs brought on by persistent delays and disruptions. A fourfold increase in container shipping rates has made ocean freight for some shippers more expensive than the product that they're shipping. You can read the full articles on that one from the Wall Street Journal in the show notes. And in a similar story, the number of Americans filing new claims for unemployment benefits unexpectedly rose last week, boosted by surges in California and Virginia. But the underlying trend remained consistent with a steadily recovering labor market. Reuters has that story as well. U.S. household wealth rose to a record $141.7 trillion in Q2, according to the Fed. U.S. household wealth jumped to a new high at the end of June, a report from the Federal Reserve showed on Thursday, boosted by stock market gains and the ongoing real estate boom. Soaring equity markets fueled the increase in overall wealth, adding $3.5 trillion to household assets in the second quarter, a period in which the S&P 500 saw a total return of just over 8.5% after factoring in reinvested dividends. Rising real estate values added about $1.2 trillion, according to the U.S. Central Bank's latest quarterly report on household, business, and government financial accounts. Reuters has that one as well. Crowded national parks have turned to reservations, and some are considering keeping them. Many tourists were surprised this year to find new systems in place requiring reserved time slots to enter some of the most popular U.S. national parks at peak hours. With the summer rush done, parks are analyzing those pilot programs to figure out what worked. You can read more details on this one, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal. Amazon faces further headquarters controversy, but this time it's in Africa. U.S. retail behemoth Amazon Inc. is once again embroiled in politically charged controversy as it tries to establish another regional headquarters, this time in Cape Town, South Africa. More than 2 years after the company abandoned plans for a $2.5 billion New York City headquarters amid political opposition, this fight is over land and a river that some South African indigenous groups say are sacred and should be declared a World Heritage Site. The project plan for the nearly $350 million mixed-use development, dubbed the River Club, where Amazon is slated to be the anchor tenant, includes office space, housing, running, and cycling tracks, and some 20 acres of green park spaces open to the public. That's also from the Wall Street Journal. Turning to international news and back on the subject of real estate, Australian authorities need to tighten home loan standards to cool a red-hot housing market and reduce risk to the financial system, the IMF warned on Friday, while also calling for more action on climate change. In its regular assessment of Australia, the IMF cautioned that monetary and fiscal policy need to remain stimulative to support the economy through a tough period of coronavirus lockdowns. However, record low interest rates have driven a surge in house prices and borrowing that needs to be contained, the IMF said. Reuters also has that one. Turning to the east, Japan's factory output likely fell in August as the country's manufacturing sector faced supply chain disruptions. Retail sales also likely eased in August after a sharp rise in July, according to the poll, underscoring the fragility of domestic consumption and shattering policymakers' hopes that Japan's export-based recovery from the coronavirus pandemic would become more broad-based. Reuters has that story. With the deadline fast approaching, only 10 exchanges have submitted applications under South Korea's new requirement. So far, only the country's four biggest exchanges, Upbit, BitThumb, CoinOne, and Corbit, have closed deals for real name verification accounts with banks. These are necessary for them to offer Korean won trading pairs and payment options. Eliza Gritzi has the details. Hong Kong-based crypto unicorn Amber Group eyes U.S. listing, according to a new report. Aspects of Amber's plans may raise regulatory concerns in the U.S. Amber allows customers to earn interest on crypto holdings by lending to other clients at a higher rate. Publicly listed crypto exchange Coinbase recently aborted plans to launch a similar service after the Securities and Exchange Commission threatened to sue it for offering what it considered to be an unregistered security product. Amber Group also offers algorithmic, high-frequency, and over-the-counter trading to institutional clients and has operations in Hong Kong, Taiwan, South Korea, and Canada, CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley reports. Italian payment giant Nexi says it's contributing to design of the digital euro. Speaking in Money 2020 on Thursday, the CEO of Nexi told CNBC that a central bank digital currency could be a force in the evolution of digital payments. Quote, "We're starting to talk about a new version of cash. That's why we're engaging with the ECB," end quote. In the meantime, China has forged ahead with its digital yuan. In August, the digital yuan was used in the domestic futures market for the first time, following multiple test runs. The U.S. has fallen far behind China and the European Union, and has yet to even consider exploring a digital dollar for its domestic and global markets. Quintus Sebastian Sinclair has that report. Turning to industry news, the U.S. House passes National Defense Act containing crypto provision, currently awaiting Senate approval. The provision included in the defense bill signals a chance it could soon pass into law. The proposed legislation would require the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Commodities Future Trading Commission to clearly define which agency has oversight of which aspects of the crypto market. If enacted, Congress would create a working group within 90 days of the bill's passage composed of SEC and CFTC representatives. This is another one from Sebastian Sinclair. And in an interesting development, Twitter is set to add Lightning tips and NFT authentication. Twitter users on Apple's iOS platform will now be able to connect third-party tipping services to their profile on the social media site. That'll include the ability to link both Bitcoin addresses and Lightning Network addresses. CoinDesk's Zach Seward has the story. And speaking of BTC tipping services, the Lightning-powered Strike app, now live in Twitter tip feature, also launched a Bitcoin payments API. On Thursday, the startup said its Strike API, a payments plugin that processes Bitcoin transactions over the Lightning Network, will roll out across a series of business partners. The identity of those businesses will be made public, quote, in the coming months, according to a Medium blog post, quote, soon, any internet network, online marketplace, merchant business, developer, and more will have access to cheaper, faster global payments of any size with a Strike API, CEO Jack Mallers wrote in the post. And in lighter news, here's our associate producer, Adrian Blost.
Thank you, Adam. Yesterday afternoon, Time Magazine announced a new collection of non-fungible tokens offering, quote, unlimited access to its website through 2023. Dubbed Time Pieces, the collection consists of 4,676 tokens tied to digital artworks, each priced at 0.1 ETH or around $310. When the sale opened to the public earlier today, 4,676 were gone in minutes. But the sale also clogged the Ethereum blockchain, sending fees to astronomical highs. Buyers spent almost four times as much on transaction fees as they did on the NFTs themselves, according to a data tracker from an analyst called Banterlytics. For example, one address paid $70,000 in fees for 10 of Time's NFTs. CoinDesk's Will Gotzigan has the story.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for after the break. We'll be back with a look at what happened in China while you were sleeping. Back in a minute.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins. Lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. Looking to make the most of your crypto assets? Nexo.io's got you covered. Grow your wealth securely with Nexo's high-yield interest accounts. Buy crypto on your terms, directly within Nexo's platform, and start earning daily compounding interest right away. Get the cash you need without selling your crypto from just 6.9% APR. Instantly swap between 100 crypto and traditional currency pairs. And don't worry, Nexo is insured against losses up to $375 million. Get the most of your crypto at Nexo.io. That's Nexo.io. Secure, regulated, and reliable, Bitstamp is the cryptocurrency exchange of choice for more than 4 million investors and traders worldwide. Since 2011, Bitstamp has been a trailblazer in security, head of the class in personal customer service, and dedicated to making buying crypto fast and easy. Whether you are investing on our desktop platform and mobile app or trading on our speedy APIs, Bitstamp gives you all the tools you need to reach your crypto goals. Visit bitstamp.net to learn more. Bitstamp, for all the ways we crypto.
Today's featured story comes to us from CoinDesk reporter Eliza Gritzi. Chinese authorities ordered a fresh crackdown on crypto mining and outlawed virtually all crypto trading activities on Friday. The People's Bank of China posted a list of forbidden activities that included some previously in the gray zone of regulation, while the National Development and Reform Commission set out a plan to phase out crypto mining entirely. In May, the country's state council ordered a crackdown on crypto mining and trading that sent dozens of crypto companies abroad. The, quote, notice on further preventing and disposing of the risk of hype in virtual currency trading, end quote, signed by China's top financial and cyberspace regulators, bans all crypto-related activities. The notice's comprehensive list of forbidden activities includes exchanging between different cryptocurrencies. In 2017, China banned trading only between fiat and crypto. The notice banned banks and other financial institutions from offering services related to crypto. Three of China's financial industry regulators said the same thing in a May statement that was reposted by the People's Bank of China on its WeChat account. Staffer overseas headquarters exchanges, even those working in tech support, will be investigated for knowingly participating in the crypto industry. Crypto exchanges were banished from China in 2017, and while they moved their headquarters abroad, significant parts of operations remained in the country. The statement also called for increased censorship of information related to virtual currencies. Websites and apps that carry out crypto business will be shut down. In the last 2 months, publicly facing crypto voices have been silenced, including news source CoinWorld and the assistant director of a Shanghai securities firm. The regulators said they want to establish a mechanism for early warning and stopping hype in crypto trading and mining activities. The notice called on police to severely crack down on illegal activities facilitated by crypto, including money laundering and gambling. The notice was signed by the People's Bank of China, the Cyberspace Administration, the Supreme People's Court, the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the Ministry of Public Securities, the General Admission of Market Supervision, the China Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission, and the China Securities Regulatory Commission. Meanwhile, China's highest state planning body, the NDRC, posted a separate notice on rectifying virtual currency mining. The statement says it aims to dispose of the hidden risks in crypto mining as it pursues China's carbon neutrality goal. While it doesn't outlaw crypto mining entirely, it orders local authorities to clamp down on illegal mining activities and prescribes a gradual phase-out of the industry. Mining is to be deemed an outdated industry. No new projects are allowed, and existing ones will be given time to exit. The notice transfers full control of the mining crackdown to central authorities from provincial and city governments. It requires local authorities to identify crypto mining operations, cease government and tax support of mining projects, accelerate the exit of existing mining operations, and stop all new investments in mining and financial services to miners. Many crypto miners have already fled China, taking their mining rigs with them after the May crackdown. But not all. Small miners that lack the resources and connections to move abroad stayed behind, three Chinese miners told CoinDesk. Some miners have stealthily plugged back in after an initial shutdown. In today's statement, the NDRC instructed local authorities to draw up a list of current and developing mining projects and their characteristics. They're particularly interested in mines that are set up in state-sponsored big data or high-tech parks. In 2020, some local governments issued preferential policies for mining. The notice also calls for authorities to check their power grids for abnormal electricity use related to illicit mining and strengthen on-site inspections for large data centers. The notice forbids carrying out crypto mining activities under the guise of operating a data center, a common practice among Chinese miners. The NDRC wants governments to clearly distinguish between mining, blockchain, and big data and cloud operators in their inspections. Filecoin and Chia mining in particular were largely unaffected in May because they don't consume a lot of electricity and don't require special equipment. When asked about their activities in July, representatives of two companies that had previously identified as Filecoin miners told CoinDesk they were data center operators. The notice also orders electricity suppliers to stop providing electricity to mines through direct lines and other methods that circumvent the national grid, bars mining firms from participating in the electricity market, and calls for a standard increase of about 5 cents per kilowatt hour on the cost of electricity provided to crypto mines. And local governments can increase that price hike at their discretion. The notice was also signed by the Central Propaganda Department, the Central Network Information Office, and most of the other organizations we mentioned before. This is an ongoing story, and it's one we'll be watching. Thanks very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blost, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with a look at why a top NFT marketplace executive resigned this week and where regulation might come in. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. We'll see you then.